fasted. So you're like, I don't know what exactly a fast is, or why would I do that? This is a New Testament, or, you know, how do I do that? That sounds radical, good. Maybe you have done it before and you're excited, or, you know the power of fasting. But this is kind of a guide for us as a body to help us. And if you read it at the beginning, I'm just going to take a look, but the first sentence, I read this, I was like, goodness, this is getting excited. So my goal today is just to give you the benefits of fasting, to get you excited about this fast, and to preview some of what we're asking God to do in the coming year. So let me pray, and then we'll get right in, okay? So, Lord, thank you that you give us not only a new year and a new decade, but new mercies, God, every day. Yes. Lord, you're doing something new. We want to be a part of it. Thank you for our church body, our leadership, pastors, and Lord, lead us now and guide my words and let your words speak to us about what you want to do. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 All right, okay, so on page 2 it says, you know, fasting is a spiritual tool that God uses to advance his kingdom, that's good, change the destiny of nations, spark revival, and bring victory to his people. So there's a power and a key in fasting, and, you know, it points out that Jesus did this. Jesus fasted, we know, 40 days before he started his ministry. So that was a pattern. And he preached that when you fast, right, not if you fast, but when you fast. So we're a part of that pattern, and God will use it. Second thing it mentions in the book, I think, is that fasting is an act of humility and consecration. So we're not going into this with our own strength. Sometimes you feel, how am I going to give up coffee? Golly, that's hard, Lord. But there's a grace to do this. It's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's an act of dependence on God, not on ourselves. It's kind of a Sabbath where we give up something. We give up the first fruits of the year. 5 days, 2 days, 3 days, 10 days, whatever you want to give God. In a sense, we're saying, God, I'm giving you this so that you can have the whole year and do what you want. A great way to begin the year. So we're excited about this, okay? Then finally it says that fasting allows us to be sensitive to the Spirit. So we're hearing God, and we need to hear God. We need to know what he's saying in this next season. So we don't want to just go in our own strength. How is God moving in 2020 and beyond, and how could we be a part of that? That was something that, you know, Pastor Blake shared about the bigger story. What is God doing? How can I be a part of that? Right. Fasting is a key. Fasting is outlined in Isaiah 58, so that's where we'll be a lot today. So if you have your Bible, Isaiah 58, I'll pull 2 or 3 scriptures. It's kind of a guide for dummies, right? This is the way you fast, says the Lord. This is not the fast. This is that I've chosen. This is the fast, and here are the benefits of it. So he talks about a fast that he has chosen. And the fasting is kind of getting into, popular now. Has anyone seen the research? It's kind of vogue to do intermittent fast. My daughter doesn't eat from 7 at night to 11 in the morning the next day, and she's doing it for health. And all that's good. That is a benefit. It says your healing will spring forth speedily. And I tell young guys who get married, when they first get married, they start to eat and have it, and they get this. I say, look, this kind comes out only by fasting and prayer. You know, it's going to help you. One time we did a fast here. I don't know. Our church did maybe 5 days, 10 days, and I pulled up in the parking lot, and there were all these cars in the parking lot. I thought, goodness, Lord, look how many people are out here. And I heard that same scripture. This cotton comes out only by fasting and prayer. God brings people to him. He will honor your fast. So there are certain benefits that we get, and we're going to take some days to do that. So let's look at Isaiah 58, and we'll talk about some of the things that fasting does. Number one, fasting in our book, it says, releases an amazing grace. So the book and the theme of our fast for these days is grace. And it talks in your manual here in the beginning scripture of Isaiah 58. He says, this is the fast that I have chosen. Isaiah 58, 7, I believe, or 6. That's where I'm starting. To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke. That's grace in our life. We carry around a lot of burdens. We have a lot of worries. And something about seeking God, fasting, prayer, however you do, however you approach it, is going to release the grace to undo the heaviness. And that's what grace is a lot of time. For me, I might fast and hear nothing except it's going to be all right. You know, sometimes you just need to know it's going to be all right. You're not okay, I'm not okay, but it's going to be okay. All right? Grace is justifying grace, the book talks about. It's inviting grace. You'll read these when we go through this. Sanctifying grace to give us power to do God's will. Sufficient grace for everything we're going through. Enriching grace. He's going to talk about day 5, okay, and then overcoming grace. So fasting is a way just to release the grace into our church, into our city, into ourselves, okay? It's not a work. It's an act of humility. Amen. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited about more grace, okay? Number two, it says, Isaiah 58:7, is this the fast that I've chosen? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the poor who are outcast into your house? When you see the naked, that you cover them. You do not hide yourself from your own flesh, from your own people. And, you know, our tendency is to hide in our own little needs, in our own little world, and say, how do I get through what I need to get through? But fasting requires a generosity. And it's actually, the call is when you fast, take that coffee money, you know, that $2-3 a day, and give it to someone. Whatever you're giving up, give to someone else. Amazing generosity is something that I believe the Lord wants to release over his people and to release over our church. Because when you walk in generosity, you open grace. Grace, generosity, it just comes through that flow from God. The Bible says they were giving great grace, and so they gave generously. So part of fasting is a generous spirit. And our temptation is to hide, but true religion, true fasting, James 1 says, is to give to the orphans and the widows. So every year, we read a book, right? Here's the best year ever, you know, right? Here's how to have your very best 2020. And I love those books. I read them. I read Michael Hyatt. Is anybody a Michael Hyatt? Okay, full focus. Set your 7 goals. Break them down into doable, you know, objectives. Set your habit goals. I love it. The high achievers. And I actually gave my wife a full focus book. She's a high achiever. So that's one year. Another guru is the gentleman from Wilmington. One year we did this. It was called My One Word. Has anybody ever done a My One Word year? He said, you get one word. Do you remember your words? Grace. All year long, I'm just going to meditate on grace. You know, scriptures and words and revelations. So, very simple way to take your year and focus it. My one word. But then there's another book that I think is the best that we've done, and it's the opposite. Instead of what am I going to get this year, it's what am I going to give this year. And it's David Platt, Radical. And if you've ever done that one, that's one where he says, I want you to do five things. I want you to figure out the minimum amount you could live on. Figure out the minimum. Here's what we barely need to survive. And give away everything else. Radical generosity. He said, pray for the nations every day. Visit a nation that's in need. Read the Bible through and be a part of a radical community that gives. And that's called radical. David Platt, I think I have a quote from him. I think they got it. But I realize it's never going to be a day when I stand before God and he looks at me and says, I wish you would have kept more for yourself. All right? I'm confident that God will take care of me. So that year, we did this one year too, and I'll tell you a little bit about the results. We didn't spend any money on our house or cars. We've had a house that needs a lot of work, and we just gave whenever we could. We gave. In that year, radical giving, God gave us a new roof, totally paid for. Somebody came to me halfway through the year and said, I have a house. It's getting ready to be foreclosed on. The right of redemption is yours. I want you to buy it. And then when you sell it, we'll split the profits. We bought a house. We got our cars paid off fully out of debt. Flipped the house, and it turned out to pay everything we needed. And the whole time we were trying to give away. Trying. I got to give. It's hard. Giving is like we're the ones who are going to run out. Before God does. You know, you can't outgive God. It's like the lady with the vessels. Elijah said, go gather all the vessels you can. And she gathered them, but he didn't give up, right? The oil kept flowing, but she ran out of vessels. It was like, I give up. I can't get enough for you to fail. I can't give enough to get ahead of you, God. He will outgive you. Radical generosity releases guidance, which is an exegete. But, you know, as we give and as God guides us, he's guiding us into generosity. And he's guiding you into prosperity so that you can be generous. It's not just so I can get what I need. So fasting, the second G or third, is it releases amazing guidance. A lot of us need that coming into the new year. What do you want me to do, Lord? What is your purpose? Okay? And your guidance from God, usually and ultimately, comes through his word. So he'll begin to speak through you. The word comes alive when you fast, right? Because you're feeding on it. You're not eating breakfast. You're going to get your Bible. Jesus said, I have food. You don't know about this, the will and the word. So we feed on God's word. He gives us guidance. In verse 8 and in Isaiah 58 talks about this guidance. It says, your light shall break forth like the morning, just gradually the light will come. He'll show you the way. Healing come forth speedily. And the righteousness, or his righteousness, will go before you. We all want we say hindsight is 2020. I don't want hindsight. I don't want to bump into walls and go, man, that was not good. Man, Lord, if I were to see, I want foresight. I want his righteousness to go before me. I want 2020 foresight. Hallelujah. To know what he's doing. And fasting releases that light, that guidance. So God will guide you continually, it says later, and his glory will be your reward. So the picture I thought of God lighting my way before me, I'm kind of a Nicolas Cage fan. I'm sorry. I watch all his movies every now and then. We'll just watch 4 or 5. But National Treasure, you know, when they go into the room and it's dark and he lights the the light of gunpowder, and it lights up the whole room. And he sees all the treasure that is his. So the Bible says, I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you might know the riches of his inheritance, the hope of his calling. Okay? So God wants to enlighten, go before us, show us his path, and fasting reveals that light. There's several times in my life that I've fasting, every major decision, moving, where to work, what job, where to live, has been accompanied with fasting, when God will reveal guidance. And some of you need guidance for this year. I know I do. I need God to show me the way. I need him. Show me your way, Lord. Okay, and I've been this way before. I don't think 2020 is going to be business as usual. What you did before may not get you where God wants you to go. And if he takes away all the familiar supports, then you got to say, your word and your way, Lord, is what I'm following. And I need you. This is the way. You'll hear a voice behind you. So God's guidance has come for us a lot during fasting. When I was in college, sorry, they're not here today. You know, when I didn't have a church family and I didn't know where to go to church, I met a guy on campus. He was a radical preacher out on campus. He said, I believe if you fast and pray for 3 days, God will show you where your church family is. And I never had done that. I had no idea what he was talking about. I spent 3 days and just got in the woods, prayed, saw God. And then one day I met a beautiful freshman on campus who invited me to her church, and I went to their church picnic, and I was trying to find a church that had the power of the Spirit and the love of God. And I went to church that Sunday, and he preached on 1 Corinthians 13. Ron Lewis preached a sermon about the love of God and the gifts of the Spirit and how we need both. And I was cemented into that church family, came by fasting. It's a key decision in your life. Sets you on your destiny, really. Another time we were fasting in Boston before we came here. And we were in an old church in downtown Cambridge. It was a 200-year-old church, kind of quiet, till a group from IHOP came in. And if you know IHOP, it's the International House of Prayer, and Lou Ingalls at the call, and about 40 kids came in and said, we're just going to pray and fast in your building for 40 days. So every day they would just go down to the sanctuary, pray and play, right? Prayer and playing. Worship, harp and bowl. And they were very easy to house, you know, you didn't have to feed them. Didn't have to make meals. I mean, they had a lot of smoothie cups kind of laying around. But 40 days. And the glory of God and the presence of God just came over that church. And one of your leaders, Dr. Lesbrods, came to visit Boston to meet. And when he walked into the church, he just began to just weep. And he's a pretty tough guy, Boston. He was up there. The presence of God came over him. Just the glory of God filled the house. And from that meeting, we came here. God opened the door for me to come here with my family for Building Hope. But it was through a period of fasting and prayer that God opened something. So God has some things he wants to open. And he wants to lead us in a way that maybe we've not been. And as we fast, that guidance will come. Amen? And what I'm talking about when Dr. Mark came in that building is glory. Fasting, it says in Isaiah 58, his glory shall be your rear guard. Well, what is glory? What does that mean? But the glory of God is hard to explain. Amen. It's not something we can wrap our, you know, formulas around. But his glory is a real tangible presence that when you once you've seen it and felt it, you're never the same. And in 2020, I believe we're going to see more of God's divine glory. The Bible says his desire is that the whole earth would be filled with the knowledge of his glory, just as waters cover the sea. So as we fast, I believe we'll see more glory. People try to call glory his value, God's value on display. When you realize what we have in Jesus, when he shows up, his presence or his peace. But probably the best kind of experience of his glory is in Exodus 33. I'll go through this quickly to try to wrap our mind around this. When Moses said to God, hey, look, we've been doing this a while, me and you. He'd fasted a lot, been through ministry. He said, show me your glory. God, show me your glory. God said, well, I can't, you know, you'll die and it's too much. And let me just put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by and I'll show you my goodness and my graciousness and my name. I'll declare my name. So God said, I'm going to show you just a little bit. And when he did, in Exodus 34, 6 through 7, we have this account that the Lord proclaimed his name to Moses. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, his glory, and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Hallelujah. That's the beauty of God. When you see his glory or his beauty, we just become captivated with his goodness, his forgiveness, his mercy. And then he also says, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting iniquity to the fathers of the third and fourth generation. There's a justice with God that he will have his way. And in 2020, he will have his way. Amen? People who try to get away with things, they will not be able to escape the justice of God. It's a beautiful attribute. It's part of his glory. There's a fear, right? You know, a lot of people sense God's presence and we're happy and we're laughing. But there is a fear of the Lord when revival and glory comes. Historically, there's been a great fear of the Lord released over sin and repentance. It all goes together. So I read this. The glory of God produces a generation captivated by his beauty and contending for his justice. That's what we're seeing in our time and in our day. God is putting together us and you all who are younger, okay? We're all part of a generation captivated by his beauty and contending for his justice, for the meek and the poor, for the outcasts. We're called to do that. It's a church body. I think I've heard Blake sort of echo that. Have you heard that? We're called to get out and see God's justice on the streets and for the orphans and widows. But we're also called in to experience his beauty. And I believe there'll be glory in 2020 as we've not seen. So the final results of fasting, he sums it all up for us at the end of Isaiah 58. And he puts it all in a kind of conclusion. If you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, verse 10, your light will rise in darkness, and the Lord will guide you continually. Amen? So that continual guidance of God, satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones, and you will be like a well-watered garden. So number one, we're going to get refreshing through His presence. There'll be provision. You'll be like a well-watered garden. That God will release provision into our lives. And then those from among you will raise up the generation. There'll be a repair of the breach. A restore of the paths to dwell. That's revival. And not just revival, but reformation. Amen. So in 2020, we're praying and we're expecting guidance, grace, glory, but also a generation to come up to restore what's broken. And as we call out in fasting, then I believe our nation and our city, we're going to see God do this. He will keep His word. Amen. God will fulfill His designs. And fasting is not about me saying, I'm going to help you, Lord. Fasting is saying, I can do nothing. We are helpless. We unless you do it, Lord, we're not going to be able to go. So it's part of the gospel. And our gospel, like fasting, is based on what God has done. And what He's going to do. So gospel fasting acknowledges, and as we go into this season, we're going to acknowledge our dependence on God. We're going to trust not in ourselves, but on Him. And we want Him to accomplish what He wants. Okay, like our salvation, there's nothing we can do to humble or to earn God's favor. Fasting is not a work. And it's a grace to say, God, we need you. And I don't know about you, but I need God. I need God. And we want Him to come. So whatever you're thinking, you know, maybe just acknowledge Him through this season. Take some time here at the beginning of the year. And let's say, God, show us your glory. Let us see your beauty. And let us see your purpose. And let us see a generation captivated by you. Through generosity, they all go together. That's why I keep, they all are reciprocal. Your generosity releases guidance. That guidance releases glory. Then God raises up a generation. Amen. Amen. So that's our prayer for fasting. I'll pray as we begin to wrap up and just thank you for a start of a new year. Amen. So, Father, we come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we do acknowledge that unless you build the house, Father, we labor in vain. So we're setting aside, Lord, with every nation and our church, whether it's a couple days or 5 or 10 or whatever you lay on people's hearts, Lord, lay on our hearts, God, what it is you want us to let go of, that we may hold more of you. And Lord, that is our prayer. We want more of you. Anyone who's confused or doesn't know where to begin, Lord, I ask you to show them your way. Give them guidance, Father, in the name of Jesus, in this new season. Release supernatural wisdom about where to go. Father, anyone who doesn't know you, doesn't know your grace, doesn't know your glory, Jesus, come. Just visit us early with your mercy again and again and again. And this year, we pray for more of your grace, God, more of your glory, more generosity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.